So we have a stranger that found out about you, usually an ad, that's the most scalable way. Now they've purchased. Now they have all these questions in their mind. But the first 14 days, practically speaking, is where most churn happens. So if you don't take these 14 days seriously, you've lost them.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar with our format, every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email, it could be SEO, it could be meta ads like we've just done, and we pick up from wherever we were last time we covered it. And in each episode, and we release a new one every Wednesday, I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Before we get into our new topic and talk to our new guest, I've got a huge thank you to say to Raul Galera from Referral Candy, who gave us the intro to this guest. And you are going to be really pleased with Raul too, because this is a brilliant guest. So at the moment, we are spending 5 episodes exploring a brand new topic. I know. Can you believe we've never done a whole dive into retention before? But we haven't. We've talked about it a lot, but we haven't done a series of episodes dedicated to it. So it's very cool to be righting that wrong in a year where I know a lot of you have got retention high up on the to-do list. So in this episode, we are kicking off with kind of a mistakes to avoid, I suppose, episode. A key mistakes to avoid, key things to do with someone who is an absolute genius at building retention for big 8-figure, 9-figure e-commerce brands. Super interesting. I learned a lot, had a lot of fun chatting to today's guest and made a huge pile of notes for myself. So I know you're going to like this one. Do make sure you listen right to the end of the episode because you don't want to miss his quickfire insider tips. And I'll be sharing my take on it all and outlining a couple of other ways we can help you improve your customer retention this year. So stay tuned to the end, everybody. Are you drowning in retention tactics and Klaviyo flows, but still can't prove with certainty which ones actually bring customers back? You are suffering from the retention clarity gap. Brands like Health, Heights, and Kilo Health trust Yocto to fix it. Yocto help you go from "we think it's working" to "we know it's working," so you can finally prove your impact. Head to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense to your execs. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer retention expert Thomas Lalas. Thomas is a specialist in retention marketing for big brands, those doing 8 figures or more in annual sales, with a specialism in the CPG, health and wellness, and subscription first sectors. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Chloe. Pleasure to be here. Looking forward to our discussion.
Great to have you kicking off our customer retention series. I'm not sure we could have found a better guest to do that. How did you end up in the world of customer retention? Because it's quite an unusual specialism, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like the best things in life, just out of pure randomness of events where you just try things and eventually something falls in your lap and you're like, oh, that's interesting. Personally, I have a background that's very diverse. I'm an ex-NATO military policeman. I'm an ex-academic. I used to teach business to artists. And then I founded a startup around AI education before AI was cool or easy to raise money with. And that didn't go far. But during all that time, I realized that something I was missing was that a lot of what I was doing with all these projects were quite transactional, like one-off. Especially with a startup where we had revenue coming in, but we didn't think that we had to sustain this revenue with the same customers that, you know, relied on us to do X, Y, Z. And that's when I realized that retention is crucial. And once I decided that it's about time for me to start offering my skill set and my years of experience as a freelancer, now as a fractional director of retention for big companies, I realized that, yeah, retention is the one key area where a lot of businesses have a leaky bucket. And I started studying, you know, from scratch, and I started correcting my own mistakes. And eventually, here we are.
Yeah, I think it's a great time to be in retention because it feels like everyone's now focused on retention, which means lots of new people are coming into this space. So what are the mistakes you see people making when they're starting off on their customer retention journey in their business?
First of all, let me say one thing. It seems that a lot of people are coming in when it comes to retention, but I don't think so. Actually, I believe most people that say we are a retention professional, a retention agency, they actually are just an email or SMS agency or professional. Email and SMS doesn't mean strictly retention. It's a tool that can help with retention. When I see people just talk about email stuff and they put retention in front of it, I cringe. You know, it's a sneaky feeling that it's just the wrong definition. It's like a buzzword, right? So retention is definitely not just email or SMS, just this distinction. So there are a few things, like there are hard lessons of mine that I realized that a lot of businesses also make mistakes. And the first one is that for a brand to have really strong retention, you don't just need to have a strong product or strong retention system or even branding, but the frequency that people use the product is vital. If you sell mattresses, your retention rate will be one purchase every 5-10 years, right? But if you offer something that can be consumed daily, ideally replenishable every 30 days or 28 days, now this is a business that can skyrocket because of retention. And if you know what you're doing to keep these people buying again and again, right? So this is number one. You might have an amazing system, an amazing product, but it has to do a lot with the nature of your product. That's why personally I specialize in CPG, consumable packaged products, right?
So Thomas, on that front then, the mattress and the kind of the vitamin replacement, you know, that 28-day cycle are at the two ends of the spectrum. At what point would you say that it would be a bad move to make customer retention your big drive, you know, strategic drive for the next year? You know, if you're a business who sells twice a year to a customer, or you're a business who sells once a year or once a quarter, at what point does, I guess, what point does the return on the effort in customer retention activity not make it worthwhile fully committing to it, if that makes sense as a question?
Jane, I have a long-winded answer. I think I'm going to try to keep it short and simple with, you know, getting the danger of just oversimplifying things. So it's a very nuanced answer. What I would say, if you are a business that just sells something, well, you know, that people have to buy every few years, I think what makes sense for these businesses is to add more products that are consumable or digital products or something that people can use again and again. So you basically reinvent your business. Otherwise, you're just relying on one-off purchases and there's no customer loyalty. There's no coming back because there's not enough reason for them to come back. Right. While on the other side of the spectrum, if you offer something that is consumable, you eat, consume, drink, swallow every day, it makes sense to focus on retention. But I would say every business should focus on retention. You've paid a lot of money to acquire the customer in the first place. Now, this customer, if they love what you do, they love the product, the brand, will come back if you treat them the right way. And the retention systems is all about, you know, finding the right way and then making it scalable. So I would say if you're on the right side of the spectrum where people buy your product quite rarely or not that often, as you know, every 30 days, then adding more products in your portfolio is what makes sense to just close that gap. And then it's all about optimizing, you know, the 30-day cycle, 28-day cycle. I don't know if that answers the question. It's oversimplified. It's a very nuanced topic.
I think it does answer the question because I think, but you're right, it is one of those questions we could sit here and debate for 3 days.
And it's quite personal to the business. You know, yeah. It has to do with the strategy. It has to do with the vision. It has to do with what the brand stands for, et cetera. So it's the right answer.
But it's great that you bring it up, because there are many businesses, you know, there are businesses like the mattress example that you gave, who for some unknown reason think they need a customer retention department. And it's like, there are so many better things you could be doing. So I love the fact you've got us thinking about purchase frequency. Any other mistakes you see brands making in customer retention?
Yeah, I mean, I can share as many as seven mistakes. The second thing, I recently saw LinkedIn, which, by the way, I think it's 90% of what's posted on LinkedIn is wrong or oversimplified or, you know, misrepresenting results for the gain of the poster. But something that I saw that is quite controversial for some people, but it's actually 100% true, is that the brands with the best retention are cults. And this is what I want to share, that, you know, the hard lesson is that subscriptions don't just drive repeat purchases, but it's a great opportunity to drive loyalty. With subscription, you make sure you focus on how the person will enjoy a lot and get a lot of value upfront with her purchase and during the 30, you know, 28-day cycle, for them not to churn. The focus of a non-subscription business, so see, the same business, one of them focuses on subscription, the other one doesn't. The business that doesn't focus on subscription, all they care about is to get the next sale. So they're getting promotional, salesy, they push. While if you're a subscription first, then the default is, unless you cancel, you will get the next batch coming in X days. You focus on building a community, a cult, as I like to say, the lifestyle of the person, the identity building, where people identify themselves with the values of the other buyers. And that creates a community and then positive feelings that you want to associate with your product. And it's much, much better than just the same product, but being a one-off purchase option of it, right? So subscriptions are powerful, not just for the money, but also for building fandom.
I think, again, I'm really pleased you've brought that kind of idea of the cult and the fandom up, because I think, and like you were saying earlier about thinking, oh yeah, we're going to do some email and then we'll have retention done. It's like, actually, you know, it's kind of like it's like the chicken and the egg thing. Which came first? Do you get subscribers because you're building loyalty, or do you get loyalty because you're selling subscriptions? And I think often businesses, you mentioned subscriptions, so I'll go there, but often businesses see the end of their retention strategy being, they've signed up to a subscription, tick, well, let's go and work on something else.
That is so wrong. You know, I really want to say this much later. I think it's the perfect time. If brands see their subscription strategy as an afterthought, they've already lost. The way that I see, and that's what I do with my clients, the subscription strategy is an extension of the product itself. And I can explain why. But the things that I personally offer during the subscription period for the buyer, they're often added value that could be a part of the core product. The core product could get so much value from what a brand can offer post-purchase that is usually unannounced, that you can actually add it in the product page and say you get all these extra things with your subscription. Usually we don't announce them. So they're pleasant surprises and people love them. And they're a great opportunity to build loyalty and upsell people, right? And get them to stick with your product. But if you think of this post-purchase thing as an email flow that you build, like, this is totally wrong. You've already lost. It's a part of the product, an extension of what you're selling. This is a very strong distinction, and I'm very adamant about this. You know, anyone that disagrees, they're wrong.
So let's get super practical. Where does the start of the working out what you're going to do, or the start of success with customer retention, begin?
Right. It begins with the first 14 days post-purchase.
Post-first purchase.
Right. Yes. So we have a stranger that found out about you, usually an ad, but the most scalable way. Now they've purchased. Now they have all these questions in their mind. For the first 14 days, practically speaking, is where most churn happens. So if you don't take these 14 days seriously, you've lost the majority of your first-time buyers that you've paid a lot to acquire, you've tried a lot of things to acquire, and now they're not planning to come back just because There's so many great products and great experiences and alternatives out there. Their attention is limited. And if they don't remember you and love you from the start, you've lost them. Just like in the show Mad Men, it says the moment you sign the client, that's the moment you start losing them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's the same thing with the actual buyer. The moment you acquire the buyer is when you start losing them, unless you deliver something exceptional in the first 14 days. And again, you can lose customers anytime, you know, month or of the year, etc. But the first 14 days, you will lose most of them because they will cancel, they will decide that this is not for me, etc. And you have to influence these 14-day window. So this is where you start.
Yeah, what do we do in those 14 days? I mean, obviously, we make sure the parcel gets delivered well and that customer service doesn't drop the ball.
Yes, we make sure that this goes well. But the moment they purchase and before even the parcel is delivered, you make sure you remove any objections they have, any questions they have before they even get the product. You need to make sure not only they have no buyer's remorse, but also they're excited about this. So when the tracking system says, hey, your order is about to be delivered today, they're excited. So the moment you send them another email saying, it's been delivered, do you want to share your enthusiasm with the community? They click the link, they go to the community, and they take a picture of the product and they unbox it. This is the kind of result we want to bring. Or they go, ideally, they even go to an ad that you promote and you build social proof by sending people, you know, saying, hey, I just received my package and it's amazing. And the ad now performs much better. You can do so many great things. But delivering value up front is just the way to go before they get the product itself.
Hold on, you would get immediately excited customers at the moment of unboxing to go and comment on an ad.
Absolutely.
That's genius. I've never heard of anyone doing that before. That's so clever.
Absolutely. There are ads that my clients used to have with thousands of comments. You know, that's also obviously the majority of them come from ad spending. But you start stacking hundreds of comments because of these emails that automatically send people there at the major point of enthusiasm. And you ask them to do something that is free and you just help them basically release this enthusiasm that you create in the first place, right? So yes, first 14 days, after that, it's all about education. But I'm going to be brutally honest, the way most people approach education, they just think it's slapping some letters on a web page and then sending it as an email or a blog post and that's it. And this is lazy, sloppy, and totally wrong. A totally wrong way to do it. What I do, and I'm very proud that I've invented this concept, I actually take the same information and I package it as a bite-sized premium masterclass that starts, you know, launches, then lasts a few days, and then there's a graduation. And during that time, people can be upsold, you know, can upgrade the order, can share their badges that they unlock with the graduation, and share with the community so more people are aware of it, etc. So you take the information you already have and you turn it into a premium product. Now, this is something powerful. You know, it's not just another blog post that, you know, is covered with digital dust or, you know, an email that is forgettable and has 2,000 words, you know, where you need to send an educational email. This is something that people want.
So in those 14 days, we're kind of, and beyond, we're giving. We are kind of wowing the customer, making sure they're going to have a great experience. We're getting them to do some interaction. Is there anything we should be kind of learning from them in this process? I'm thinking, you know, segmentation, because they're going to be, if they bought it as a gift, are we going to do this same process with them? Other things immediately spring to my mind that we might want to do. Are you trying to get information back from them at this point as well?
Yes, absolutely. You're spot on, Chloe. There are, let me count them, I think there are three or four key points where I'm asking for zero-party data. So I'm asking them key questions. And personally, what I do is I don't have one flow that just goes out to the same people, but based on their answers, the information they provide, I tailor the flow, triggers another flow or branches out to something else with conditional splitting. And eventually you personalize their experience. So there are a few people that get the same flow after their first 30 days of purchasing. Usually just branches out or triggers something new based on their responses. And this way, You can upsell a different thing. You can predict even the retention based on all these engagement and all the key moments. And right now I'm building and working with somebody to build an algorithm with machine learning that basically takes all these data and then will eventually predict in a dynamic way whether you're about to buy again or based on historical data, you're about to churn, right? And then you personalize the flow even further. Right now I'm doing this for every brand. I'm going manually and identifying all these patterns. So then I'm building buckets that are pretty static and they can change anytime. Well, that's a great way to get started by using a micro, you know, machine learning algorithm. But yes, zero party data, what you said is spot on. It's a key point to delivering a personalized experience. And then eventually, you know, if the person is about to churn and you give them something to stay, or if they're likely to commit to buy a 3-month supply or even an annual supply. I've seen this. People 21 days after the first purchase, they prepay for an annual supply of a product. I've actually seen this happen and it's extraordinary. But you need to know who needs to receive this message. Otherwise, you just basically by targeting the wrong people. So there's a lot of work to be done and zero-party data is an essential.
And on that zero-party data front, the mechanism of collecting it, are you sending them to a form that they fill in? Are you giving them 2 links in an email where if they click one or they click another or they're replying to an SMS or a WhatsApp? Being really, really practical, any tips or recommendations around how we go about gathering that to get the best response?
Gotcha. You have amazing questions, by the way. I know why people love your podcast. First of all, I would say this is the first time that I need to plug a company. And what my personal favorite tool, and I've been a customer for years, is Typeform. I'm using Typeform to deliver masterclasses, to collect your party data. They sync back to Klaviyo, which is my email and SMS and CDP weapon of choice. And usually based on that, as properties, I trigger different, you know, conditional splits or different flows. So Typeform is what I use because it's just easy, intuitive, and that's how I collect all this information. But sometimes it just makes sense to have a one-click poll where you send an email, and I've seen some people feature my emails, you know, on LinkedIn saying, hey, this is a great way. You ask them a simple question and you have 3 links with 3 different answers. And once they click, they're getting tagged that, hey, that's their problem or the intensity of the problem, or do they use this so I can think of my upsells or not, right? And then you target them accordingly. If you have more than one question, then the Typeform is the way. Or you just have a link, they answer this question, you record the click, and then you can dive in a bit more with Typeform. So the click triggers a Typeform and you ask them more. Let's say you want to find out who is a mom, you know, because you have this angle or you have a kid's product, etc. The first question is, what describes you best? You know, mom, dad, or this and that. When people click, you dive in a bit more and collect more data to personalize it. So there are so many ways to do this, but taking a step back, the zero-party data is crucial for this to work.
Excellent. Thomas, what have we missed? Any last things we've missed we should have told people about and I should have asked you about?
Right. I mean, the obvious thing I think we've missed is that we've been talking about retention systems, you know, sophisticated retention systems, but a premium retention system can't save an inferior non-stick product. Your product matters a lot. The brand experience, the product itself, it needs to deliver the value promises. And unless it does, people won't stick. I can help brands that have a leaky bucket. I can't help brands that have a bottomless bucket. So take care of your product first. Make sure it's sticky, even without branding or without any retention systems in place. And then the retention system would just skyrocket it.
I love that you've added that in because it's like so often you kind of think people going, I don't know why you're trying to build retention on this. It's not a good product. Because if the product isn't there, you've got nothing, haven't you? Brilliant. Thank you so much, Thomas. It's been brilliant picking your brains even about retention strategies. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Thomas's insider tips on customer retention and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business.
Founder to founder, are you really sure which of your retention efforts are driving repeat purchases? Or are you just hoping your Klaviyo flows and loyalty programs are doing their job? That's the retention clarity gap, and it's what's holding you back from real measurable growth. Founders at brands like Health and Heights trust Yocto to cut through the noise and show them exactly what's working. If you're ready to stop guessing and start scaling smarter, go to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense. That's keepopt.com/Yocto.
Okay, Thomas, so far we've gone deep into retention strategies. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer retention. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with customer retention, which of course includes all those things we've already been talking about. Thomas, are you ready? Excellent. Okay, let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Okay, so for new brands that want to fix their leaky retention, I would say build the retention system first, because this way, all the money you've spent on ads and all the new customers you've acquired, you actually hold them for longer. Don't wait to become a 7, 8, 9-figure brand to focus on your retention. I would just start right away, and I would focus on the first 14 days with the philosophy that your retention strategy of the first 14 days should be an extension of your product. Your job doesn't end with you acquiring the customer for the first time. Your job is actually to get them to buy at least one time. Otherwise, you've probably overspent for a person that will never come back, and you might even be losing money.
Nice. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
I'm a big data nerd, and I always run A-B tests. I've built a retention super system that is really strong, but I always look for different ways to optimize this and that. What I do is a traditional A-B testing with a holdout group, a control group that receive the thing that they would normally receive. And then I test a new theory. And if the new theory works, you know, consistently well, then I make it a part of a whole system and it keeps optimizing itself. Marketers need to think like scientists, and I really love this. It elevates your work if you think like a scientist and if you think in terms of incrementality, not just, you know, the absolute click rates, conversion rates, etc., but what's the conversion rate of this scenario against this scenario, right? So that's what I would do, A-B testing with holdout groups, control groups, and then adding the winner back into what you've already built.
Nice. Oh, I like that. Okay. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you would recommend?
I'm very skeptical about free resources, especially when it comes to retention. I mean, to be honest, this is, you know, no disrespect against my colleagues, but personally, I'm not satisfied with anything online at the moment when it comes to retention. That's why I've actually written a book about retention, which is going to come out at some point, but I saw the gap there. And personally, I'd like to help the community grow. What I would say is, like, if you have a question, I can be a free resource for you. Just, you know, send me a message on LinkedIn. If I can help, I will gladly do so. But I would recommend looking into a guy called Drew Price. He happens to be my mentor as well. And he scaled Grammarly's email program and loyalty program. And overall, he has some courses and a paid community that is not really expensive. And that also comes with a Slack channel with a lot of colleagues that share advice, you know, share trends, etc. So that's what I would suggest.
Nice. So there you go, everyone. Either DM your questions on LinkedIn to Thomas or go and find Drew Price and check out what he's up to as well. Thank you very much for those. Finally, it's crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months we should be getting ready for?
Okay, I'm actually not really big on predictions because things change all the time. You know, it's new tools come here, new pricing models, new exciting technology, new regulations, right? So how can we predict what's happening in the future? What I always do to predict the future is I look back into first principles and I see what things never change. And then if you have a stellar understanding of first principles, then you can be ready for the future no matter what it brings. So it might be different from, you know, like the sexy prediction kind of bullet points that people share online. But yeah, I always try to stick to the basics and to the truths of our world. And then predictions can come and go. Things can change. We can adapt.
Spoken like a true retention marketer. Thank you so much for that, Thomas. We are very nearly now at the end of the show. So could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and get in touch with you?
Absolutely. I thoroughly enjoy this. If you want to get in touch with me, you can find me on LinkedIn right now as we speak. That's the only place you can find me. I have no website, no book yet. So hit me up on LinkedIn. Let me know if you have questions. I'd love to.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, Thomas. A perfect way to kick off our customer retention mini series. So thank you so much for being here.
With a perfect host. Thank you so much for having me.
So what a great way to kick off customer retention series. Loads of cool stuff there from Thomas. I love those mistakes he was helping us get around that we can avoid. The whole point about one, is your product good? And two, what is your purchase frequency? Because that is going to determine whether or not it is worth you investing any time or lots of time in your customer retention. Making those first 14 days post-order, not post-delivery, but post-order really, really count. What can you do to make sure that person is super confident and super happy when the parcel arrives? How can you get them interacting with other people in your community, get them building that sense of loyalty and connection before they've even taken out a subscription because they've just had that first delivery? Getting that first party data as well, asking the key questions. What questions are going to help you sell the right thing to that customer, build the right relationship with that customer so as they stay with you for a long time, buying again and again and again. And loads of super, super practical bits in there as well. Really great to get Thomas on the show. You can find our notes, the links and the transcript of this episode at keepoptimizing.com. You can use our special direct episode short link to go straight to the right page. That's keepopt.com/the number of this episode. Do that and you'll go to the right place on the website. And then why not add yourself to our email list on the site so you can't avoid all our great stuff we send to you via email. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed it and want to keep learning about customer retention right now, well, this is the first time we've done a full series dedicated to customer retention, so you can't kind of scroll up your feed like I'd normally say and find things that start with the words customer retention. This, or retention even, this time we have talked about it on a lot of other episodes though. So we've put together a page on the website where you can find all our past retention heavy episodes, which you will find via the short link keepopt.com/retention, strangely enough. You could also, and I know Thomas did say that it's not just about email marketing, but email marketing is quite important. So you could just scroll back up your podcast feed and listen to some of our episodes about email marketing, because there's plenty of those that you can find easily. Please also tell your fellow marketers about this show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Fix your retention clarity gap now. Get your personalized retention playbook at keepopt.com/yocto.